Chapter 2. Bruce woke to a sharp rap on his door, before it was flung open so urgently that he was rolling out of bed, before he even registered that it was Alfred, standing with his hand white-knuckled on the doorknob, and his eyes intense and ablaze with fear in a way Bruce had never seen before.
What happened?
Bruce didn't waste time asking questions, just went straight for the dresser and started throwing on clothes. Alfred's voice was composed in a way his eyes were not.
There are police cars and an ambulance at Drake Manor, and an officer stopped by to ask if we had seen Master Tim.
Bruce's blood ran cold, and he froze with his shirt halfway tugged on. Tim was missing. Jason was missing. Jason was missing, and then he was dead, and Tim was missing. Bruce pulled his shirt down so hard he heard something snap faintly above the roar in his ears. What could have happened? An ambulance. That meant someone had been injured. Jack, if Tim was missing. What would be the point of kidnapping Tim straight from his house, though? A ransom. Or something more sinister. Even if it were a ransom and the ransom was paid, though, there was no guarantee that Tim would be returned alive. Bruce had to find him. Fast. Alfred followed him quickly, grabbing Bruce's coat as he yanked on his shoes at the garage. It wasn't actually cold enough to need a coat, and the efficient, terrified part of his brain screamed at him that he didn't have a few seconds to spare, but the look on Alfred's face was enough to have him snatching the coat and pulling it on as he went. Jason's loss hurt Alfred just as much as it had hurt Bruce, even though Alfred was so much better at managing his emotions, and the same pain rushing through Bruce's veins was undoubtedly running just as cold in Alfred. Alfred needed something to do, some way to help, some way to take care of people when he was upset.
We'll find him, Al. Go down to the cave and see if you can find his tracker, in case he tried to follow the attacker as Robin, Bruce told Alfred firmly, as he grabbed the keys to a car.
Bruce doubted that Tim would have done that, especially since they'd been coming off a long patrol and he must have been exhausted, and doing so could jeopardize their identities, but it would give Alfred something to focus on for at least 10 minutes, so Bruce could focus on finding Tim.
If you can't find that, try to track his phone.
Alfred nodded and walked quickly away. Bruce pretended for his own sake not to see the way his nearly father's hands were shaking, pretended that his own weren't just as bad. He couldn't afford to get distracted worrying about Alfred, and vice versa. They were leaning against each other like two cards at the base of a house of cards. If either of them went down, the other would follow, and everything would collapse on top of them. It was barely a minute by car to the Drake's house, and Bruce normally walked the few times he went over there during the day, but he needed speed. Seconds counted. Seconds, and he would have saved Jason. There were three police cars outside the house, crime scene tape over the door, and an ambulance hanging open with no gurney inside. They must have still been loading Jack up, unless he was dead. Bruce ducked under the yellow tape and followed the sound of voices through the house. To hell with regulation. He had been more of a father to Tim the last year and a half than Jack Drake had been for Tim's entire life. And if Jack was hospitalized, then Tim would be coming home with Bruce anyway. He had the right to know. There was a police officer standing in the doorway of the living room, but Bruce kept walking. The officer glanced up and noticed him, holding up a hand to stop him.
You can't go in there, sir. This is a crime scene.
Where's Tim? Bruce said, gritting his teeth to keep from snapping or growling or breaking down completely.
What happened?
The officer frowned.
Who are you, sir?
Bruce took in a deep breath and ran a hand down his face. They were wasting too much time on formalities when he was clearly the most qualified to track down his son, his Robin, his son, but he needed allies or they would kick him out and he would have to waste more time hacking into the files later. Files that wouldn't be written for at least another hour.
I'm Bruce Wayne. I live next door and take care of Tim when his father is gone. He's like a son to me. Please, where is he?
The officer winced and his expression filled with pity. He thought that Tim was dead. Bruce could see it in his eyes. But there was no way. Not yet.
Tim had only been home a few hours, three at most, and even if he'd been taken immediately, that was hardly any time to do so much as to be taken to a secondary location. No matter what the kidnapper had taken him for, whether for ransom or for whatever they wanted, they would want him alive for at least a little while.
Mr. Drake was attacked in the living room. He passed out while on the phone with the dispatcher, so they weren't able to get much information from him. But he said that Tim had been taken by the person who attacked him. The officer said delicately,
"I'm afraid that's all I can tell you right now."
"Was anything else taken?" Bruce asked quickly.
The officer shook his head.
"Not as far as we can tell. The Drakes seem to have been the targets of the attack. Do they have any enemies that you know of?"
Enemies. Because this wasn't how a ransom kidnapping would go. It would have been easier for the average thug to nab Tim while he was at school, or at the very least from his bedroom, instead of risking a confrontation with his father. Jack Drake may have had business rivals. He could have done something to upset one of them, could have tangled with the mob and gotten into trouble, prompting Tim to be taken as a hostage. Even though Tim could have fought off most thugs, and had martial arts training on the record to cover for that fact, he would have gone willingly if it meant saving his dad. If Jack was so badly injured that he was passing out, though, then it was very possible that the intruder didn't care if he lived or died or was mentally capable to meet demands, like they would have if they were trying to use Tim as a hostage, which would imply that Tim was the primary target. And while Jack Drake had enemies, Tim Drake did not. But Robin did. If Bruce had gotten another Robin kill just for being associated with him, Bruce didn't think he would live with himself.
"I can't think of anyone," Bruce forced himself to say. "Can I have a look around? Please, I might notice something out of place. I've been here before."
The officer frowned again at that, then turned to look into the room.
"Stay here. I'll ask the detective in charge."
With that, he stepped into the room and finally out of Bruce's way. Bruce stepped into the doorframe, not going any farther to avoid antagonizing the people he frustratingly needed, and did a cursory scan of the room. Jack was on a gurney, with one of the medics shining a penlight into his eyes. He was unconscious, but a quick glance showed that he looked like he'd been beaten to hell and back. His face was a bloody mess. That let Bruce know several things about the person he was dealing with right away. First, it was unlikely it was a meta, judging by the fish-shaped bruises forming and the lack of splash damage. Second, the attacker was likely trained in physical combat if that had been his primary weapon and he'd been able to take Tim. Third, Jack's arrival had not been a high priority. The number of facial blows could have easily killed him or rendered him brain dead. So it was not a ransom. Robin, almost certainly then, was the target. There was blood splattered on the carpet near the fireplace, right next to the gurney, which indicated that that was where Jack had been beaten. Looking around the room quickly, he saw nothing else out of place. There were valuables on the shelves, Tim's phone, damn it, that had been far more likely to yield results than the suit, on the coffee table, but nothing else had been taken. The coffee table itself, though, about 10 feet from where Jack had been beaten, was off kilter, and...
"There's blood on the table," Bruce snapped.
He felt a rush of ecstasy at the clue, an indication to who had taken Tim. He didn't wait for permission, just marched into the room, stopped a foot or so from the table, and pointed at the blood smear on the edge. The wood was cherry red, and the blood was drying, but it was still sticky. It hadn't been there long, another indication that Tim hadn't been gone long enough to have been killed. The head detective, a stocky man with a balding scalp and fierce scowl, turned to him.
"Who are you?"
"The neighbor," Bruce said, a little more impatiently than he should have dared, but he had already explained that.
"There's blood on the edge of the coffee table, and it's been shoved out of place. It might be the attacker's blood."
Please, please be the attacker's blood.
If the intruder had committed a violent crime before and had been caught, his DNA would have been registered, and it would take the back computer minutes to get a name, and only a few more minutes for a last known address and a list of known associates. If the intruder was good at his job, though, he might have never been caught, and the blood would be a red herring. It could also be Tim or Jack's, which would be even more useless.
"Please don't be Tim's."
The detective scowled harder, but he looked closer at the table, then nodded to one of the photographers. Bruce stepped a bit closer into the room. He needed to assert himself as useful without making himself a nuisance when he had no legal right to be there. He hated playing personal politics at the best of times, but with Tim, his son, whatever claim Jack might have to him, in danger, it was all he could do not to launch into his own investigation right there.
"Tim stayed with our family when his father was hospitalized before for several months," Bruce said.
If he wasn't careful, he'd end up looking like a subject.
"Please, I want to help find him. If there's anything I can do."
The detective looked up at Bruce with a frown, a calculating expression tugging his lips this way and that before he finally grumbled,
"Would you know if something's missing?"
Bruce nodded quickly. Even though Bruce would bet his fortune that this was not a robbery gone wrong, it would give him the excuse to look for his own clues.
"Likely."
The detective nodded and marched out of the room, waving for Bruce to follow him.
"We don't know where the point of entry is.
The doors are locked, but half the windows are unlatched. The wire on the security system was cut, though." If Bruce got Tim, when Bruce got Tim back, he would not be returning him to Jack unless there had been a serious upgrade to their home security. He couldn't believe that Tim would be so lax. No, he could. Tim had likely left the windows open so he could be sure his father wouldn't unknowingly lock him out, and Jack had been oblivious enough for it to work.
"Their bedrooms in the safe are upstairs," Bruce said instead of the long stream of curses he wanted to hurl at the semi-conscious man being wheeled toward the door.
As soon as Jack had been driven out into the hall and out of the way by the medics, Bruce walked briskly for the upstairs, resisting the urge to run. Did Tim keep any Robin-related items in his bedroom? If he did, how well had he hidden them, and had the intruder found them? He wasn't meant to take those kinds of things out of the cave, apart from his panic button, but Bruce knew he sometimes got caught up in cases and took them home to work a bit more. He went for Jack's room first, since it was the first one, and did a short sweep. He'd never been in Jack's bedroom, though Tim had pointed it out to him one time when he'd been carrying the slightly queasy boy back to his house, when he'd caught a stomach bug and Bruce wouldn't let him patrol, despite his fervent protestations. There was no obvious sign of ransacking, though. Nothing had been pulled out of the drawers, no indents in the carpet indicating something had been moved, and a wallet and car keys sat untouched on the dresser. He left the room without a word and went next to Jack's office, leaving Tim's room for last so he wouldn't be rushed along from what was likely his best source of evidence. He walked straight over to the hidden safe behind a painting and tested it, then opened it for good measure, just to be safe. If it had been a robbery, then seizing Tim and forcing him to open the safe would have been a decent enough move. They might have decided after they'd beaten Jack and gotten the money from the safe to take Tim hostage. Bruce couldn't decide if it would be better or worse for the kidnapper to be a common thug. On the one hand, it meant that retrieving Tim would be easier, but on the other, it meant that Tim was in the hands of an impulsive fool. A villain might just kill him, though, or reveal his identity. He opened the safe quickly, remembering that the combination was Jack and Janet's birthdays put together and reversed.
"How do you know the combination?" the detective asked, another glimmer of suspicion in his tone, and damn it, Bruce had nearly forgotten he was there.
He knew well enough that very helpful, over-cooperative people were very often suspected of trying to remove themselves from suspicion, but he didn't know what else to do. He had to find Tim, but he couldn't do that at the cost of being brought down to the station and wasting so much time.
"Tim lived with me for several months after his mother was murdered and his father was put into a coma," Bruce said as he swung open the safe.
Judging by the wads of cash and a box of Janet's old jewelry sitting right there, it was not a robbery. Who would know Tim's identity and try to take him? One of the rogues? Or another villain?
"He sent me once to get his birth certificate for his passport."
For the trip to France, where he'd met Sheba. Would she have kidnapped him? No, that seemed unlikely, unless she was being paid for it. He tightened his grip on the safe door, then shut and locked it and rehung the painting.
"Tim's bedroom is this way," he said, turning and leaving the room before he could be asked any more questions.
Tim's room didn't seem out of the ordinary either, but Bruce heard the detective inhale sharply. Bruce frowned and turned to the man.
"What is it?"
Did you see something? It's been ransacked, the detective exclaimed. Bruce snorted in grim amusement and shook his head. Have you ever met a teenage boy? I would have been worried if it was clean. Dick had never been tidy either, but Tim took messy to a whole new level. He claimed that spreading everything out made things easier to find, but Bruce suspected Tim just got lost in his own mind, as he frequently did, and had no time for menial tasks like tidying his bedroom. Jason had been tidy, though. Meticulously. At first, he'd had so little, and he'd crammed it all into one tiny little backpack he kept by his window just in case he had to make a hasty retreat. But once he'd calmed down and settled, he'd become such a neat freak that he organized his sock drawer by color and material. The memory struck a chord deep within him, and Bruce had to clench his fist tightly to keep from breaking down. He couldn't lose another son. He couldn't lose control. He couldn't lose time, not when it mattered so much. Sir? The detective asked gruffly, as Bruce started walking through the room with trembling hands. Bruce swallowed hard and didn't turn around. God, he was being so suspicious. As far as the world was concerned, Tim Drake and Bruce Wayne had almost nothing to do with each other. He'd shown up out of nowhere, barged into the crime scene, and was now getting overly emotional in the boy's bedroom. He would think he was suspicious. My son, he said thickly, was killed when he was 15. I know he's not my son, but he's... Tim is in danger. We have to find him. There was a long silence before the detective finally said, I'm sorry for your loss. At least he sounded less suspicious, Bruce thought in bitter relief. Jason's death had brought him Tim in the first place, and now it was diverting suspicion from Bruce so that he could maybe do for Tim what he couldn't do for Jason. Bruce choked up and couldn't find the words. Detachedly, he was conscious of the fact that he was only further strengthening the grieving father worried about a kid matching his son's profile image while distancing himself from the probable kidnapper by getting so upset. The way a man who loses a leg is conscious of the fact that at least he doesn't have to go on that diet to lose weight anymore. Something on the windowsill caught his eye, and he quickly picked his way through the piles of clothes and random camera equipment. Maybe an intervention was needed.
Please let an intervention be possible.
Until he could see it clearly without being close enough to disturb the scene.
That's a footprint, the detective breathed.
It was. A muddy footprint of a boot, carelessly dug into the wood enough to have chipped the white paint. Tim might have been messy, but he wasn't stupid enough to leave proof that he'd snuck out just sitting on the windowsill, and he wouldn't have chipped the paint. He wouldn't have been heavy enough to chip the paint, and the print was much larger than Tim's foot would be. If the man the print belonged to was proportional in size to his foot, then he was likely over 6 feet tall, and heavy as well, judging by the scuffed paint, likely muscular.
The point of entry, Bruce said, cold confirmation settling on his chest like the weight of a casket. They were after Tim.
Bruce had excused himself after Tim's room, feeling confident that he'd found all the clues he would be able to with the police breathing down his neck, and absolutely terrified of how little he'd found. He had narrowed down the list of suspects to men larger than Tim, which was already most of Gotham. The man who'd snatched Tim could be anything from a supervillain to hired muscle who'd gotten lucky by threatening Tim's dad. He was so caught up in his worry that he nearly missed a major clue as he was walking out.
The garage door is ajar, he snapped, and started toward it without waiting to see if anyone was following him.
Bruce nudged the door open the rest of the way with his toes to avoid corrupting any potential fingerprints. He could hear someone yelling at him, that he wasn't supposed to be over there, Bruce was pretty sure, but it was just background noise. The garage was missing a car. Jack's car. His heart hammered against his chest with fear and victory. They had a lead.
Jack's car is missing, Bruce said tightly, barely biting his tongue in time to keep from telling them how to find it.
He wasn't doing very well at playing the airhead billionaire act at the moment.
The kidnapper might have stolen it. It's a... I forget. It's black, though.
not very distinctive. It was a good choice for a kidnapper if he wanted to lay low. The red car would have been easily located, but a black car of any variety could blend in far better. Perhaps the attacker wasn't as impulsive as he'd thought. Bruce breathed out heavily and brushed his way past the gaggle of police officers in the door.
I need to call my ward. Let him know what's going on. He'll want to help join the search.
Dick was still upset with him, but they were doing better. Much better. And even if they weren't, Dick would never leave Tim to suffer just because he was mad at Bruce. He should have called Dick earlier, given him a head start on the drive between Bloodhaven and Gotham, but it had entirely slipped his mind. If something happened to Tim because Bruce had been too scatterbrained to call for help? Bruce ran a hand down his face as he nearly ran through the halls of the Drake house and down the front steps back to his car. He pulled out his phone and dialed Dick's number, just hoping that his oldest son would pick up. He might be sleeping, injured, or mad at Bruce for some new Hamartia he'd noticed. Dick picked up on the third ring, and Bruce released a breath he hadn't known he'd been holding as he backed out of the driveway and took off toward the manor like a bat out of hell.
Be if this?
Tim has been kidnapped, Bruce interrupted. He'd been trying to be firm, but his voice shook despite his best efforts.
From his house. His father has been beaten, but Tim appears to have been the main target. Please, I need you in Gotham.
Dick's breath rattled sharply on the other end of the line, and his own voice wobbled when he spoke. Dick might not have been there for Jason's death, but it had rattled him as well. He wouldn't lose another little brother if he could help it. Bruce was sure.
I'm leaving now,
Dick said.
I'll be there in an hour, tops. Do you know who...
No. I have no idea who did this, but I have a lead. I need to call Barbara now, Bruce said, leaving the provide any urgent information now or hang up unspoken.
We'll get him back,
Dick promised, but he didn't sound as confident as he seemed to have been aiming for. Bruce hung up before he could try to match Dick's promise with a lie he only hoped would be true, then called Babs. Barbara didn't pick up, so Bruce waited until he was sent to her voicemail and tried again. This time, she picked up halfway through the first ring.
Who the ever-loving fog is calling me at 6 a.m? Where are my fogging glasses? Who the fuck is this?
Barbara snarled groggily. Bruce would have been quietly amused at any other time, or sadly reminded of Jason. It was a toss-up these days.
Tim's been kidnapped from his home. The kidnapper stole Jack Drake's car. I need you to find it for me now. Bruce said, speaking slowly, even though it grated at his already frayed nerves.
She sounded like she'd just woken up, though, and wasn't up to speed yet. Speaking slowly was better than repeating himself, but only just. Barbara inhaled sharply, and a creaking of her bed in the background sounded like she was pulling herself out of it.
I'm on it. Any idea who took him?
Bruce shook his head before realizing she couldn't see.
A man, judging by the boot print. Probably 6 feet to 6'4". Heavy, too. Likely with muscle if he was able to beat Tim. I don't know if he's leaving town or going to ground or why he went after Tim. Check the...
I know. I've got my programs primed and ready to go. Just tell me which car. Black BMW or red Ferrari.
There was a clacking of computer keys for a minute.
BMW.
Have you called Dick?
Of course.
A relieved sigh on the other end.
I'm hanging up now. I'll call when I've got a hit. Don't distract me unless you've got new details that I need to know.
The call clicked to an end as Bruce pulled into his own garage. He parked and hopped out of the car, making his way toward the cave with a single-minded determination. Adrenaline was buzzing in his veins to the point of stiffness, and his arms felt heavy with a remembered weight, wet with blood he'd washed off long ago. Not this time. Not to Tim. Losing one child had been his greatest failure. Losing two would be... It wouldn't come to that. Even if it cost Bruce his life, Tim was coming home safe.